Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever.
Welcome back to our podcast, Behind the Kitchen Table. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that it took us a little bit so long to come back to this, to come behind our kitchen table, but life happened.
Yeah, we have, we're not going into too in-depth of our life now, but our life is definitely different than it was a year ago or a year ago, probably when we did our last podcast, but...
I think it'll be more. Really? I think it was after like a month that we moved in.
Maybe, yeah.
Because I remember we were sitting on a couch and that was like the first like relaxed day because the house was getting more put together.
Well, I don't remember anything. Yeah. Well, so long story short, we have two little babies now.
Two parishes.
Yep.
Didn't ruin anything yet.
But yeah, so it's kind of a good time to jump back into Theophan because when we started this, I was just pregnant with Miran and we were just kind of dreaming about what life would be like with a baby. And now we have Miran and Amelia. Amelia's 8 months old now. Mm-hmm. So now we're, I feel like, in the thick of life a little bit in the middle of motherhood and fatherhood and parenthood. And
it's not abstract anymore.
Yeah, it's not abstract anymore. And, you know, of course, I think every parent does this or to-be parent does this and thinks that they're gonna be the best parents and run a tight ship. And then here we are.
Yeah. Nope.
The ship is on fire. We're getting ready to jump off the ship. you learn that parenthood is not beautiful. It's beautiful and it's not anything that you thought it would be.
No.
But in really wonderful ways. So this is, we're in a good place to be able to relate more to Theophan's teaching and really forcing me to take a look at myself and how, and you know, how we're parenting and how we are
going about life,
communicating, raising our little ones.
And it's important because nowadays you can see the struggle in parents that they don't know what to do. And like yesterday and today I preached about, you know, this baptismal robe that, going back, I had baptism at my other parish, St. John Chrysostom. Beautiful day. So, but I preached about this baptismal robe, and really we are getting really to this, like the, what would you say, like the filling, where how do we as parents and future to be parents keep the garment clean so we can literally help our children really from infancy to grow in faith.
Mm-hmm. Keep our own garment clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I said in homily or not, but to in a way teach our kids shortcuts, meaning that if we fight with a passion and with God's grace we conquer it, but if you see it in our kids still at this beginning stage, we know how to root it out before it takes deep roots and ruins everything.
So I think
my first thought was to return back to page one and start over, and then I realized, well, we are actually at a very good point of this podcast. Now, we'll be doing a little bit different what we used to do, and that is that Sarah will read the paragraphs that we
are talking about.
So you don't have to follow the book, mm-hmm. you can just listen, and we will just reflect, and it'll be simple.
Yeah, not nothing long, nothing dramatic, but this is... It, right now, we're if you are following along in the book, we're in page 37, number 6, The Christian Upbringing. Mm-hmm. And this follows the section on baptism for infants, so that's really fitting for your Sunday
yeah.
and having a baptism. So,
and just one more thing, that we'll be trying to keeping the podcast to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you like longer or shorter, please let us know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like longer. when I listen to a podcast, my attention span is about that long. So.
Me too. So I think 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 or 30. We'll see how it is.
We'll see how the conversation goes.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Why don't you start?
So number 6, Christian upbringing. The aim toward which everything in this process should be directed is this, that this new man, when he comes to awareness, might recognize himself not only as a rational and free man, but at the same time as a person who has entered into an obligation with the Lord, with whom his eternal lot is joined inseparably, and that he might not only acknowledge himself to be such, but might also find himself capable of acting according to this obligation, and might see that his preeminent attraction is to this. The question arises, how can this be attained? How should one act with regard to a baptized child so that when he comes to age, he might not desire anything else than to be a true Christian? In other words, how does one raise him in a Christian way? To answer this, we will not undertake to examine everything in detail. We will limit ourselves to a general survey of the whole topic of Christian upbringing, having in mind to show how, in every circumstance, to support and strengthen to the good side in children, and how to make powerless and crush what is bad. Here, first of all, our attention should be directed to the infant in the cradle, before any kind of capabilities have awakened in him. The child is alive. Consequently, one can influence his life. Here we should think of the influence of the holy mysteries, and with them the whole churchly way of life, and at the same time the faith and piety of the parents. All this together constitutes a saving atmosphere around the infant. By all of this, the life of grace, which has been conceived in the infant, is instilled mystically.
Beautiful words by him, as always.
Oy. The first paragraph, the only thing that I'm thinking about is a huge and continuous responsibility of
yeah.
the parents
mm-hmm.
to be a unbreakable and unshakable example of a Christian.
Yeah.
Which is like nearly impossible.
It sucks.
It is nearly impossible. It's if I think about myself in everyday life, I am more times than not begging to act like a true Christian
yeah.
and asking for forgiveness for not acting like a true Christian, and to know that I am with my kids all day every day and that is the example that they're given, it's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, it is. I liked what you said a couple of days ago that I think it was St. Elphan who said that even like you're...
Oh, we'll get to that.
You will get to that.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind that.
Well, no. There's a little bit further along in the book. There's a section that talks about the eyes. And
like
what...
human eyes.
Yeah. What the... Yeah, not like the eye of your soul or anything, but your actual eyes. It's before you can communicate or before your babies can communicate. What do your babies see? It is your eyes. And whether you're looking at them with love or irritation or frustration or annoyance, you know, but they see those things through your eyes. And they're looking at your soul through those eyes. And it has made me really look at myself a lot when I'm talking to the babies or with them, you know.
Yeah, or when you're frustrated or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't realize how much just this one sense of eyes
mm-hmm.
can do to a formation of a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really like are his questions. I mean, the whole paragraphs that you read, they're all beautiful. A, we can't forget about that they need salvation as much as we do. And I think we often forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
especially when there's a hard day at work and you really can't find any more energy, and you know that there is liturgy evening, and suddenly you have to take all your family for liturgy,
mm-hmm.
and well, or feast day, or for vigil, doesn't matter. And it's at that moment where you are showing your child that even through, you have to go through life, but you cannot forget what's the most necessary,
mm-hmm.
even if you have to cry with sadness and anger that you are so tired and you have to stand in the church. But this brings, I believe that this brings blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it brings blessing when children fall asleep on their way home from church.
Yeah.
You know, how many times do we let our kids to be up? Well, not at our house. 7:30 and they're done. But
yeah, well, not when there's liturgy in the evening.
Well, yeah, but you know, I can see them, our kids, to be up later on in life,
mm-hmm.
to be up and well, okay. If they can't stay up at till 9 p.m., then there is really no excuse for them to skip the church.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that's where. But yes, the question arises, how can this be attained? How should one act with regard to a baptized child so that when he comes to age, he might not desire anything else? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now the child cannot drive,
mm-hmm.
cannot get to church.
Right.
They're
living by our examples.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So the example that you're going to show and give, that's what you're going to reap afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, our good friend Deaconette, he sent me an article about that the church, and I shared it on Facebook the other day, that churches are declining and the young people are not finding faith. It's sad. Why? And I think this is one of the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be negative or too harsh. It's just the reality that parents didn't catch that important part of their lives that to show them that this is really, really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that not only, I mean, yes, all of that, and but also that it's hard to be a Christian.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
You have to sacrifice a lot of your time, a lot of your life, a lot of everything, and give up the actual world in order to seek Christ,
mm-hmm.
and to you know, not go to this or that event or watch this or that show because you have something to do with church, or you have even your evening prayers to do.
Yeah.
Those are things that we as parents should be showing our kids, that we turn away from things that would bring us earthly pleasure in order to deepen our life with Christ. And yeah, I'm saying all this stuff, and when we have two babies under two,
yeah.
Like, how are we supposed to do that? They don't see that. They don't, you know, they don't have enough sense right now to even acknowledge that. But
well,
just by our daily actions, it's going to become a normal thing, I'm hoping, to them.
Well, I mean, we can already see it.
Yeah,
I mean, our son Miron, we have a room dedicated to as a prayer corner, and the whole room is filled with icons. And
yeah, it's our prayer room.
And in the morning, he runs there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, of course,
partially because his milk is there waiting for him.
His milk is, but it's we didn't do prayers once.
Oh yeah.
And Miron threw a fit that we are not going to be in that prayer room.
Yeah.
It was, well, you don't realize what kind of impact this little routine that you have has on the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and okay, maybe we are not praying as much right now
mm-hmm.
in the morning because, well, I mean, kids are kids. You can do just much before they become super hungry and crazy, but just creating this habit
mm-hmm.
is... That is unbreakable, can serve them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, and same thing we do in the evening that we, and I'm not praising us,
mm-hmm.
but we can just see it from the experience that if you set up a good schedule,
mm-hmm.
everything works. And God,
well, it's like sticking to a real prayer rule, even with young ones.
Yeah, and God forbid that the kids will catch you reading catechism or scriptures or praying and making prostrations in the prayer corner.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid.
Yeah.
That's what they need to see the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love these examples, but I can name two people from St. Nicholas, two men who were praying, wives recording, and their kids, respectively, were doing prostrations as they were doing prostrations. Mm. And, like, ugh, I cannot wait for that.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for that. I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, and I think with Great Ones starting, I think Miron is going to be...
Oh, like, yeah, he's...
What are you doing on the floor?
Oh,
I like
my,
this.
Exactly. Oh, my.
But the next year, he'll get it.
Yeah. He'll be in it. It's going to be great.
And, well, and here St. Theophan continues that here, first of all, our attention should be directed to the infant in the cradle.
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying, well, when the baby comes to reason or when, like now this stupid world says, when they can't decide on their own.
Mm-hmm.
No. If we choose to baptize our kid, we give a promise to God that until our last breath, and that's from my homily too, we are responsible for their life,
mm-hmm.
for their soul, in a way, and from the cradle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard for me because Emilia is young. She is, I mean, still in a crib, and, you know, I forget that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm...
No, both of us.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I'm with... You know, you're working, and I'm with them all the time, so...
Well, you're basically a stay-home mom who is almost single.
Yeah.
But even
I'm a stay-at-home mom and a single mom.
unless there's just one liturgy, but... Yeah. But.
Well, it's hard... I mean, well, that's a different point, but I forget that my example... That I have to continue leading that example in the home, even when she is so young. She sees what I'm doing, even though she might not be able to comprehend, but she's learning these small things like, I don't know, silence and prayer and even things throughout the day. And, you know, there are even times in the day that I'm listening to other podcasts
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and like your dad's homilies or your Father David or something like this, and they're here too,
yeah.
listening, and you know that's kind of an amazing formation that can be given.
Yeah. Better than music.
Well, yeah, and I don't in but you just forget because they're so little.
Yeah.
That everything that you do will be absorbed.
But I mean, sure. But now we can see even in Miron that.
Oh yeah.
You say a sentence and or ask him something to do, and he does it.
Mm-hmm.
So the wheels are turning already.
Yeah, and you know what else is turning is that we were in Ohio the other day, and we were just sitting around the table, and he was about to eat something, and
by himself.
Yeah, and we were all just talking, and we weren't going to eat, but he was, and he crossed himself before he ate, and we all just like stopped and looked, and we were like,
"Look, is this seriously happened?"
It was beautiful because he knew at 21 months old that he prays before he eats.
Yeah.
That was cool.
But that comes with praying 3 times a day before the meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the formation never stops, and it starts in the cradle.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is not tooting our own horns or anything,
no.
But it's kind of amazing to see that, yeah, these little small things that you do on a daily basis do translate over.
Yeah. And I think more than anything, we are sharing this just to show that, well, it works.
Yeah.
It's a struggle. I mean,
oh my gosh.
I mean, you know, to make Miron cross himself 3 times during one meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, you have to reach over. You have to use your own energy to. But you know, you see the fruits 2 months later.
Right.
So,
yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, another sentence here. Having in mind to show how in every circumstance to support and strengthen the good side in children and how to make powerless and crush what is bad. And that's something that you were talking about earlier, to kind of pick out the roots. And it's like nearly impossible to do that right now.
Yeah.
Not just because they're so young, but also because like even I'm learning what my roots are.
Yeah.
You know, I'm even still in the beginning stages of my spiritual life and trying to dig out like the root causes of passion and what causes, you know,
sure,
sinfulness.
Yeah.
And since, you know, we're all working on that, but it's to be able to see something like that in a little one is challenging.
Mm-hmm. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Wait, where did you get it from?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, of course, it's me, because I probably sinned before you.
Right.
And you caught it up like a sponge.
Yeah.
But true, you're correct. But also, you are at least one step ahead.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all it's what's needed to help.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have underlined, we should think of the influence of the holy mysteries. And so when I think about my own shortcomings and my own lack of expertise in the realm of parenting or just Christian upbringing, do you have to think about the grace that comes from the mysteries,
yeah,
the holy mysteries? And that's
absolutely,
I think more than anything, that's comforting for me.
Mm-hmm.
To know that in my lack there is an overabundance of grace and mercy that comes from God and receiving the Eucharist. And
but you have to be active in it,
right? Yeah.
Okay, so like even okay, so you have baptism, you receive grace, you have to activate that grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's in you. You can lose grace too, but like in a child, you have to activate it. Same thing with communion. Well, the mysteries won't work if you don't come to church.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go, if you don't come for feast days,
right.
It's when it, I mean literally. As almost 1.5 year priest, it really dawns on you that, well, why are we depriving ourselves, not just kids, but as a whole, of these beautiful things?
Mm-hmm.
Eucharist, confession,
mm-hmm,
holy anointing when somebody is sick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's
Well, the amount of grace and power that these holy mysteries have, and we just sometimes forget that. And
well, what is it, take it for granted?
Yeah, take it for granted, take yeah. For granted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's just, like, you go to communion,
yeah.
And that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And you forget that that is the body and blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Life-giving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life-giving. Well, I think it's good to end here.
A little bit abrupt, but...
Well, I mean... We can continue.
There's a lot more. I would say there's more to talk about, but there's a whole lot in this
coming,
section.
Yeah. And we don't want to go paragraph by paragraph. Maybe we will.
No, well, just, I like just a general,
yeah.
Just a general discussion.
And I'm sorry that I'm negative. I don't want to sound negative.
Gosh, you're the worst.
I don't know why right now, like, I'm on this.
You're not negative. Don't worry
this,
about it.
This depressing mood. A wave.
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, but it's. I think, at least my last point is, like, anybody or all of us can do better, especially when we have children.
Yeah.
We can always challenge ourselves more. We can always find time for church. We can always find time for listening to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many good ones out there.
Spiritual podcasts.
Yeah, spiritual podcasts.
But also, I think one thing good to say is that the cleaner, going to your back to your homily, the cleaner we keep our baptismal garment, the more likely we will be able to help keep clean the baptismal garment of our children.
Yeah.
And to also instill in them just basic Christian life and
mm-hmm.
basic Christian values, true Christianity, and that being when they do come to I don't know.
Senses.
To their senses, yeah, that they will choose the path that you have put them on.
Mm-hmm. Really? Well, I love that. But I would just add to choose that path because it's so normal to them.
Yeah. And
beautiful. And that they would not know
any other path.
Any other path.
Yeah.
Or they would not want to.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, I think we ended on a good note now.
Not so negative.
Yeah. I think you will have the last words or last thoughts.
Mm.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please, if you enjoy these, like, share. Let us know if what you want to hear. If you have any questions, shoot us a question.
Or don't.
Or don't. I'll make sure that Sarah will answer all of them. All right. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
God bless.